but what's about inside? And they were all concerned about other things and forgot about a wide open pit of a waiting hell. And in the meantime, people pat themselves on the back with, well done, well done, well done. Well, praise the Lord. Maybe something like this. Well done, well done. Praise the Lord, I got perfect attendance in Sunday school. Remember those days? I never miss a function at the local club. I watch all my favorite football teams. Oh yes, I don't miss a one. And the list goes on and souls are going to hell. Homes are dividing up. Families are split up. And oh yes, we pat ourselves on the back and say, well done, well done. And oh, by the way, those words, well done, they are marvelous words if they come from God, but not from a committee. Take a moment and think of the mighty Samson, the Hebrew giant who through sinful disobedience had fallen into the grasp of the paid assassin called Delilah. His hair had been cut off and his sacred covenant with God was severed. He had traded his ranking with the Creator for a meeting with the creature. The feared Philistines surrounded him. Death was very important. It was a serious problem. Did Samson panic? Did he call for a prayer meeting? Did he cry out to God for mercy? Not at all. The once great deliverer looked about life. And he looked lifeless and summed up the pending disaster by saying these words, I will go out as at any other time. And he did not know that God had left him. Samson looked the same. He felt the same. He reacted as he had grown accustomed to doing. But the tragedy was that nothing was the same because God had left. His power was gone. His strength was gone. His ability was gone. What he did before, he couldn't do any longer. And the Philistines had no difficulty in subduing this giant, this champion. It was only a matter of time before Samson lay dead beneath the rubble of the temple of Dagon, the fish god. The frightful thing about that story is this. And I want you to think about it, is that Samson was not even aware that God had left him, that he was spiritually dead. Has the church become like that? And the people aren't even aware of it. Has God left it? Is the supernatural power gone? Maybe it's time we asked ourselves, which concerns us most, a sports league or a prayer meeting, bowling night or intercessory prayer night, a holiday cantata or the salvation of souls? Are we concerned about people, red, white, red and yellow, black and white? Does abortion bother us? Does sin bother us? Which pulls the greatest attendance? Which brings the greatest attendance? The musician, the singing group, or a missionary service? Now the disorder condition that had hit Sardis was very familiar. The church was surviving. It was surviving. And going on past achievements that it had. Oh yes, at one time this church led the way in accomplishing great feats for God. It was a going church. It was alive. But that was a generation or so ago. Now it was all memories. Yes, the congregation still gave tithe. They still gave offerings. They still gave alms. But the people didn't give of themselves. Of course the altar was there. But there were no tear stains on it. Only a bronze plaque that proclaimed, donated by so-and-so. The paid staff did some of the witnessing, who also did some of the evangelizing. When it came to prayer, a lot was said about that subject. In fact, much more was said than done. The modern Sardis church are practically museums. They display their victories of years gone by. Church, there's great things that happened in the church years ago, but that's not going to carry us today. The only trophies they won were occasional church sports trophies. The edge is gone. The motivation to win the world is gone. Two guys, they went to the Smithsonian Museum. They were there a short time when one of them said, "Let's get out of here. This is boring." In which the other guy responded, "What are you talking about, boring? Look at all these animals." "Yes," he said, "look at all these animals. They're all dead. It's a graveyard here." And the guy who thought it was boring didn't care how rare the displays were or how large they were or how skillfully they were displayed. He only saw the given truth that they were very, very dead. Is that the way God views our church nowadays? It doesn't matter how many generations grew up in the church, or the size, or what human influence, if it's spiritually dead. The question is, have we become a museum displaying the way we were? And God calls out for the seven spirits, which the seven spirits that represented the Holy Spirit. And he cries and he says, "Let's leave. They are all dead." And in the meantime, the church continues on, unaware that God has left. You might ask, but didn't they pray at all in the Sardis church? Yes, they did. But they said prayers, but they didn't pray them. The prayers ascended no higher than the ceiling. You may ask, didn't they sing? Oh yes, they sang endlessly. But it makes no difference when it becomes mere form and no substance. One may ask, didn't they give tithes, offering, and alms in Sardis? Of course they did. But the giving was not prompted by a desperate love for Jesus. God saw the church as it truly was, no compassion for eternal souls. No compassion that exceeded the mechanical tears, those mechanical ones that turn on and turn off. The lights are out. The doors are locked. We've forgotten. We're forgotten on the way home. Oh yes, no spiritual growth, no kind of witness. Everything's gone. And no true concern. That was the Sardis church. God has a sharp message for the Sardis church. He does. He told them to wake up, to get on guard, to be alert to the enemy who had already stolen many of their treasures, and he warned the people to repent. Their spiritual coldness was sin in God's eyes. the spiritual coldness. The Sardis church was dead, and it didn't even know that it was dead. Were you ever lost and never knew you were lost? And all of a sudden, your spouse says to you, you think we ought to go ask for directions? They didn't even know they were dead. And God was approaching with judgment. Dead or alive, how do you stand today? By his value system? Or by his measuring rod? Want us to look here at something in closing. The complaint for the Sardis church was formalism. The practice or the doctrine of very strict adherence. It was ritualism. Excessive devotion to ritual. Complacency. Self-satisfaction. Self-content. That was the three things. There was no flattering words. There was no compliments. No bouquet of flowers that was given to this church. This means that its sin is one of the most serious problems that a church can have. The problem was, it was a dying church. It was a lifeless church. But note this, that the church had works. This church had programs, ministries, activities. It had so much that it had a great reputation among other churches. Other churches looked up upon the Sardis church as being willing to consider new ideas, alive, well-attended, well-liked, prosperous, busy, and full of good fellowship. It had ministries for every age group. It had works, the right beliefs and doctrine, and it had all the ministries and activities that one could think of. But I want you to note something about the Sardis church. It was dying and lifeless. However, look at verse 2. Chapter 3 and verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Verse 2 says that it was not yet totally dead. A few living things still remain, but they too were dying very quickly. How could a church be so active and well attended and have so many ministries and yet be dying? What does it mean? What does it tell us today? It means to die spiritually. It means to have a form of worship, but deny the power thereof, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4. To focus on ritual, ceremony, and worship instead of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, church, and I hope you remember this. It's not how high you jump. It's how you walk when you come down. Not how high you jump. We can jump higher than the NBA basketball players. That's not it at all. It's when you come down your land, how do you walk? It means to lose one's zeal for witness and sharing Jesus Christ and for seeing others grow. It means to be self-content, self-satisfied, to become unconcerned and lackadaisical, lifeless in the study of God's Word and also in prayer, to sit in worship and Bible studies as a matter of form instead of to focus upon activities instead of Jesus Christ, to become formal in worship instead of alive in Christ, to conduct activities in order to keep the organization going instead of learning about Jesus Christ, sharing about Him, to hold services and activities for social fellowship instead of for spiritual growth and edification, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, to preach and to teach as a matter of form. That kind of church is void of spiritual life. and also void of energy, void of the Spirit of God. Its works are only activities, only man-made activities, only social services. The works do not have the Spirit of God and His power in them. Let me tell you something, church. There's not one problem of having a fellowship. There is not one thing of having a gymnasium, going out and doing things, having gathering and doing things. There's nothing wrong with that. But if we lose our zeal for God and we lose our zeal for the souls of mankind, these ones that are dying all around us, spiritually, just like the Sardis church, then we have something, there's something wrong with us. There is something wrong with us. We don't care about souls, if we don't care about the children, if we don't care about youth, if we don't care about the adults, the middle age, the young adults, if we don't, we just, oh, let it, just don't. Let it go. There's something wrong with dying. Scripture. We can have this church packed every Sunday. We can be bussing them in tomorrow. What if we lose our evangelism? If we lose our going after what God tells us to go after in His Word for souls, to reach out and touch somebody, to help the hurting, help the ones that need our hand. When we forget about our schools and say, oh, whatever God wants to do or whatever Satan wants, we let him go. We can't have that. Because when we have that type of an attitude, we're dying spirits. And God is concerned, and we should be concerned as well, shall we say. Father, we love You and we praise You. And we glorify You. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that You will help us as a church. Lord, we're brothers and sisters here in this place. And we need Your help. We need Your touch. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that You will give to us exactly what we need. Lord, if the fire is going out, I ask You, Lord, help us to start it again. Lord, the tears, when we hear of things that are happening in this world, in our own country, in our own area, things that are taking place that does not please You, help us to have a burden, because we don't want to die. And Lord God, I pray that You would touch everyone here. We pray, Lord, You'll minister and help. Maybe you're one here today, Mr. Pastor. There's times I felt that way when I was cold, dead. If God's going to revive you, if you do. Father, I pray for you. Lord, stir the coals again. Souls, stir them up, Lord God. Stir. Let there be a spark. We will be stirred again. Father,
I pray that you'll help us. Lord, there's ones here today that have unsafe loved ones. Lord God, would somehow, some way, would you stir our heart? Would you give us a word, Lord, that would have a word for them? Lord, open that door. Lord, we don't want to sit by just being idle or lackadaisical. We don't want that. Lord God, help us and help these ones. Stir it, Lord, again, I pray. Touch, Lord God, I ask. And we give you the glory. And we give you the praise for it all. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a